Hello everyone, it is another episode of MedShield Movement Connect Show with me, Dr. Fez, and happy World Hearing Day. In light of that, we have an audiologist with over 10 years experience, Noor Jahan Basha. She is somebody who is so knowledgeable, I can't wait for you to hear what she has in store for you. Get ready to know what you don't know about being body brilliant. This is the MedShield Movement Connect Show, where we connect the dots between fitness, health, wellness, nutrition, and of course you. Hosted by me, Dr. Fez Mkhize, and a special guest that we have every month, sharing knowledge, insights, and groundbreaking tips on how to get fitter, be stronger, and live healthier. Turn up the volume and listen close. Today you amplify. It's the MedShield Movement Connect Show. Let's go. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, Dr. Basha.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Fez.
Doctor to doctor, I always am very interested to know why people went into the health space. And with you, when it comes to hearing and helping people with that, what was the primary push?
So, it's actually a very sentimental story. I actually had an aunt growing up who was born with hearing loss, so congenital hearing loss. But back then, we didn't really know much, right? So they would just go, my family, my grandparents would go from pillar to post trying to help my aunt, but to no avail. Eventually, she was given a pair of hearing aids, but remember, she was born with hearing loss, so she didn't have speech development. So then it was like, oh, this audiologist, you know, it didn't help us. And I wondered, where's the breakdown? So that was my driving force to get into it and say, listen, the biggest thing we need, firstly, is counseling, because if we had proper counseling and information, they'd know what to expect the hearing aid or the hearing loss. So that was my driving force. And then got into the degree. And then, you know, you do a community service for a year and you get a feel for government versus private. And I think private was my calling. So, yeah.
For me, it's so interesting because my push was always, I wanted to know more about the human body. I wanted to learn how it functions. And I felt like if I could learn that, I could optimize myself. It's really great when I hear stories around people who have had an experience with an issue that might have not been handled very well, and they wanted to correct that.
Absolutely.
So with that in mind, if you could tell, because we connect the dots here, if you could tell somebody at home who might have been in your situation, how do you identify issues with hearing? What are some of the flags, the red flags that go, okay, that might be something auditory?
Brilliant question. And I think it's so important that we touch on this. So I'm going to break this down into two categories, children versus adults. In children, it's very important that we, as frontliners, or you, whether you're the GP or the pediatrician, we spread awareness on the hearing milestone. So that new mom that comes in, you want to know, by 3 months, is baby calming to mom's voice? Does baby recognize mom's voice? By 6 months, are we trying to localize and turn to the source of sound? And then by 12 months, are we imitating words? Are we receptive to our name? Those are kind of like the red flags or developmental milestones, rather.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
And if we're seeing a delay or we haven't seen it yet, that's a red flag. Yeah. And we need something needs to go off where we say, listen, I need to go back to my ped. And, you know, he'd manage further. And then again, with our kids, if you notice tugging on the ear, inconsistent responses to calling their names, or even just to conversation, and speech and language delay, the first step, and I cannot stress this enough, if you can't hear it, chances are you're not going to produce it. So we start with the audiologist, where we do a hearing test, and then we say, okay, listen, everything's normal here. Let's go further and investigate where's the breakdown. Sure. Or it's not normal, and how are we going to manage this? With adults, it's slightly different. You'll notice we start to ask for repetition in conversations. The television volume gets louder. And the biggest thing that not many people actually know is something called auditory fatigue, whereby the hair cells on the cochlea are starting to, I'm sounding a bit like a nerd now,
I love it when we get into
damage, right? And then you'll notice, so the latest research is saying that hearing loss doesn't only affect your hearing, it affects everything. Your cognition, your emotional status, you become socially withdrawn because you don't realize the amount of effort it takes to listen. So you and I just sit there and we can manage conversation and cut off background noise and focus on speaker A and the waitress and the little kiddies. Mm. But a person with hearing loss, that situation is a nightmare. So you need to ask yourself, am I battling in that situation? Am I struggling to manage conversation? Things like that, yeah.
And I mean, with all of that in mind, what is the prevalence of hearing loss or some decrease in terms of hearing when it comes to children? Because I've heard a range of stats. People will be like 2 to 3 out of 1,000 kids might have some sort of an issue. There's American studies that will say about 15%. How prevalent is it within that younger demographic?
Look, it's to be honest, right now with hearing loss, with speech and language delay, the prevalence isn't so high in terms of hearing loss. We see normal hearing, but the issue is higher up. But we have to start. So when I say higher up, it's a, you know, above the brainstem. Something else is going on there. We have to exclude, is this child on the spectrum? You know, why are we not processing information? That's the recent trends. I have my own take on why it's happening, but that's a different day.
I don't know. An interesting. So just speaking on that, because you said the why it's happening, and for me, I've had my concerns around technology and the shift that happens with technology, the fact that we are moving to a place where you watch a lot of videos and you watch a lot of things, and people do walk around with all sorts of kind of headsets when it comes to earphones, wireless, etc. Is that something that potentially is having some sort of effect when it comes to people coming in with hearing issues?
Look, I get patients asking me this all the time. Mm. It's not necessary, unless you're blasting it above 85 decibels for a long period. Your earpods and earphones are not, and I know I'm probably going to upset a lot of people by saying this, but it's not necessarily going to damage your hearing nerve. If it's at a moderate level or a medium level, it's okay. Our main issue is, you know, noise induced, for example, that's what you're touching on, but occupational settings. Mm. Or someone that's clubbing every single weekend, you know, for hours. Yeah. Those are things we're going to look for. But listening off your headphones, mm-hmm. provided it is at a moderate level. The rule of thumb is 60 minutes for 60 at 60% of the device's volume. Yeah. So you listen for 60 minutes at 60%, you take a break for 60 minutes. And then you can go back and do what you were doing, you know, watch your videos, listen to music. So we're not saying change your entire lifestyle or give up what you love. We're saying everything in moderation.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. That allays some sort of concern, because I do sometimes feel like maybe I have my earphones in too frequently or too often. Yeah. Mm. But on that, when it comes to myths or things that people think will cause damage to your ears, I know Q-tips, cleaning with Q-tips, that's something we're always telling people not to use, just because you can't actually see where you're putting in kind of that blind shove.
Absolutely.
How would you tell people to clean their ears if you were to say, you have a bit of wax buildup, how do I take care of that?
Okay, so I love that you've touched on this, because I actually just did a post the other day on when patients book for a wax removal, how do you know you have wax in your ear?
Exactly.
Who's told you? Unless your GP or your ped or ENT says, listen, there's wax, chances are they would have taken it out. So how do you know you have wax? Because I had a patient who came in saying, listen, wax, you know, and take it out. Pristine ears, not a bit. Q-tips, though, were meant to clean around our ears, not to go in the ears. And I always say to patients, this idea of cleaning your ears, when you bath, whatever's supposed to come out will come out naturally. If you feel blocked or clogged or discomfort, then you see your GP. That's your first line. You go to your doctor and he or she will look into your ear and tell you if there's a problem. If there's wax, they'll remove it. If there's no wax and you had that blocked feeling, then they'll refer you accordingly, either to your audiologist or your ENT. So there's not much cleaning that we need to do. You know, you come out the shower, you take your towel, you rub around your ear, that's enough. Yeah. No Q-tips. I was in an interview once and they opened it to the audience, and a lady phoned and asked me, what about a feather? No, you know, not a feather, not a wire, I don't know, nothing.
I honestly remember my mother growing up,
all
always
of us.
Just be like, make sure your ears are clean.
You know, everyone.
Yeah, there's just this concept that if you aren't cleaning out your ears, they're going to get super dirty, and you don't want that.
You know what we're actually doing, though? We're taking this Q-tip and we're pushing the wax deeper into the ear canal, because the ear canal is long, right? And what you're essentially doing is you're pushing the wax deeper in, it gets hard, And you're 100%. And then when your GP has to take it out, it's more painful than what it should be.
Yeah.
You know? So you don't need to do that. If you feel you have a problem, that's why we have our amazing doctors. You go to them and they'll tell you in which direction you need to be going in.
Perfect. And I've done enough kind of lavages and the syringes and right? the rinsing out to know how it is when somebody is impacting that wax.
Yeah.
But we've spoken about some of the milestones that you want to look for in the kids when it comes to any sort of hearing loss. As you get older, there is some amount of hearing loss that can be expected. Can you tell me how much and when people should kind of start expecting to have some of that?
So as we age, the hair cells on the organ of hearing start to deteriorate, right? I'm going to say age loosely. It can be anything. I'm seeing people as young as 45 showing presbyacoustic acoustic hearing loss. So essentially symmetrical loss in both the ears. And there's no other contributing factor. It has to just be aging of the organ of hearing. And then obviously as we get older and older and we leave it untreated, it's not so much the graph or that audiogram that we're concerned about. It's how the brain is being stimulated, the hearing brain.
Yeah.
So how then are you discriminating words? So I say from after 40, to start having your hearing tested. You know, if you notice that you're struggling or you're leaning closer when people talk, those are, you know, you have nothing to lose. Just have it checked and then we'll tell you where you need to be.
So do you feel it should be more if you see something, so like there's a reaction too, so I'm not hearing as well, I should
hear.
Or if you're 40, you should just kind of go in maybe annually or every 2 years to go in and just make sure that it's fine?
So look, if you could do it annually, that's great. But, you know, booking your audiologist visit is like a grudge of booking. You know, I need a hearing test. So like when I tell a patient who's 90, you have hearing loss, they're like, oh, really? You know, so I don't want to tell a 40-year-old you have hearing loss, but I feel like when you start to notice, and you will, the television is louder than usual. At work, you're probably leaning forward when you're speaking to colleagues. In restaurants, you're really not managing, you know, the background noise and then the conversation at the table. Those are all red flags. You're not necessarily just tired. You're not coping because you can't hear.
Yeah.
So you have it checked out. And, you know, the thing with hearing loss is that the sooner you treat it, the better. And with most things, obviously. It's just that the research says that a patient will be diagnosed with hearing loss and will only see their audiologist for intervention 7 years later.
Wow. Yeah. Seven.
Literally.
And I know I always tell people you want to preserve as much as you can.
Absolutely. Anything.
7 years is a very long time.
And what we see is that the graph may or may not change, but the brain's ability to discriminate words, because that's one of the tests we do, speech discrimination, because remember, we don't hear our ears, we hear our brain. The graph may or may not change, but your brain's ability to discriminate words decreases the longer you leave it untreated. So you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you eventually cut yourself off from society because you can't cope. You're forced to ask your partner, what did he say? What did, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
When it's so easily treated. And I know I can just sit here and say it's so easily treated, but we've come so far. So with March being World Hearing Day, this year's theme is breaking the stigma. And that's always been my, and I think every audiologist's role, to be honest. We want to break that stigma where hearing loss is an old person thing, or you know, it's not. Hearing loss can happen to anyone. Just yesterday, I had a patient, 34, who woke up with sudden sensory neural. So he woke up and he couldn't hear. Wow, you know what happened? Goes to the GP, was given the correct course of medication, came to me, and there's clinically dead ear. So he's young. That's not an older person problem.
Incredible.
So my goal, like most audiologists, is to put out there that we need to break the stigma. You know, like when you can't see, you get glasses and you're cool. Hearing aids now are so tiny that you don't even know. It looks like a Bluetooth device.
Exactly, I was going
to
say.
They're actually making it now where you're like so fancy. You have this Bluetooth device and it connects to your phone and your coffee machine and your car. And, You're fancy.
I mean, speaking of hearing aids, because people, and this is why we connect the dots, people at home can see somebody with one. Could you give me just a simple explanation of how they actually work?
Is of course.
Is it an amplification thing? Is it a sensitization to whatever's within that kind of hearing space? How do they work?
Okay, so I think this question is important because patients who need it are nervous and like, what am I going to do with that? Mm. So let's explain how it works. So essentially, the first step is that we diagnose hearing loss. So we know, okay, there's your, on that audiogram, that little graph, we know exactly which frequencies are affected. And then we fit you with a suitable aid. You know, and like you said, Dr. Fez, if someone can see it, if they can see it, they're too close to you because it's so small now that you
probably
can't.
I always used to think somebody was walking around with like their Bluetooth device.
Yes,
on
absolutely,
phone,
right? So then we program the hearing aid in accordance to your degree of loss. So the hearing aid will pick up sounds, it's amplified, and then through the little speaker, it gets to your ear. And when we program it, there's an acclimatization period. Because remember, you haven't heard these sounds so clearly before.
Yeah.
So it's not like just going to buy, you know, a bag from a store and there you go, good luck and I wish you luck. It's therapy. Yeah. I insist that it's therapy. So you program it accordingly and the patient will wait in their everyday environment and they'll come back and say to you, listen, my voice may sound a bit echoic, but at that dinner party, I heard great, and then you adjust it accordingly.
Mm.
So I think it's important to put this out there because sometimes, you know, you usually only have one shot with to win that patient over. And if you don't counsel appropriately, when they leave and the whole world is chaos because of the hearing, it's too loud, they're almost like done. Like, you know, there's a negative connotation. Oh, I'm not wearing this. It's done. It's in the drawer. And they've paid so much for it. So it's important to know that it's therapy, so we're going to adjust it to give you until we get to that point where we've treated the organ of hearing successfully.
I love that. And it's funny because I always say the best person when it comes to health and treatment is the person who tells you what could happen from the range of great to not so
100%.
Great and then gets you ready for it so you aren't surprised and you don't feel like you're the superhero who's now having like Superman.
Exactly. You know, you're listening to the neighbor's conversation.
It's irritating you. So I think that's so important. The therapy part is crucial.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, we can sit here and I can hear you speaking all day, but we are very much about connecting dots.
Yes.
And I'd like you to just tell me, if you had to give me 3 to 4 just important things to try and make sure you don't do to preserve your hearing,
right,
or things to do to make sure that your hearing lasts as long as it can, what would they be?
Okay, so let's to do, our to-do list.
To-do,
let's
okay.
start. With you really are what you eat, right? I'm sorry.
People always, when they hear that, they're like, okay.
Right? So if you can incorporate omegas, antioxidants like folate, zinc, those
leafy green vegetables,
absolutely.
The fish with the fat, omega
100%. So they contribute in better organ health throughout your body, specifically for the cochlea, the organ of hearing. Exercising increases blood flow. I'm sorry,
even
guys,
more
but
eye
you
rolls.
Know,
this is what we say.
And you know what? I see it. Like, I can see a 70-year-old who is fit as a fiddle, and I'm expecting this severe loss, and I just see this minor drop, and I'm like, wow, you know, you. And she'll quite confidently, I do yoga 3 times a week, you know.
There you
so
go.
The proof is there. And then, you know, avoid loud music, loud environment. So I know I just said a little is okay, but follow that 60-60 rule where 60 minutes of something, preferably not over 85 decibels, right? That's our cutoff. At 60% of that device's volume, then you're okay. You know, things like that is vital. And what's imperative is that if you start to notice that you're battling, then you see your audiologist because the sooner you treat, the better. That's just how it works. You know, you leave the organ to deteriorate and then your lifestyle, you emotionally, you actually suffer more than anything else.
Oh, well, there you have it. Make sure that you're eating the right diet, as we always say. Make sure that you're exercising and moving your body, as we always say. And 60%, 60 our 60 minutes of 60% of the sound of the devices that you listen to. I'm saying that more for me than all of you at home, because I know I'm a bit of an offender there. And make sure that you're emotionally and kind of mentally calibrated. Mm. All of these things don't just work for the hearing, but for everything in life. Dr. Basha, thank you so much for this first time sitting with us. We're definitely going to have you back.
Thank you. It was lovely.
Thank you. I always love it when they say it's been lovely. I know it's more for all of you at home than it is for me, but it's been an incredible, incredible episode of MedShield Movement Connect Show with me, Dr. Fez. We will see you on the next one. Happy World Hearing Day. MedShield Medical Scheme focuses on restoring confidence in tomorrow and encouraging peace of mind for all South Africans with 9 medical aid plans designed for every budget and phase of life. To get a quote, go to www.medshield.co.za.